Well, I made the mistake in first service to not let you all know, and I'm sure I'll be called under the carpet for this one. Forgot to let you know that Pastor Aaron is not here today. That's why I'm presiding and preaching at the same time. Pastor Aaron and Pastor Emily and the family are on a brief leave. They are on vacation and enjoying themselves, I think, over in Ann Arbor area. So we'll remember them and won't see them again until the Senate Assembly coming up next Thursday. Some archaeologists, quite a number of years ago, found what they believed to be, could even be as much as a second or third century church in Syria. And they found in this structure a place where they believe, just by the shape of it, that is where the baptisms took place. And on the wall was a piece of a fresco that they could recognize as being the Good Shepherd. It's because that imagery is so closely associated with baptism. The Good Shepherd. We hear from Jesus that it is the Good Shepherd who, whose voice we try to remember, whose voice is learned by the sheep as being the voice that is worthy of trust, the voice that they know will lead them to the right places at the right time. It's the Good Shepherd that is the one who protects the entrance to the place where the sheep are kept. In Greek, that is called an aule. If you know anything about Spanish, that same word is used often. It's called aula. An aula is a place that's generally open where instruction goes on. And so here, this aule, this open area where the sheep were kept, had wall built up probably with rocks. They didn't have a lot of wood, but they had plenty of rocks. So they build this wall up that had an opening. And in that opening, that is where once the sheep were all gathered in the evening or at night, that's where the shepherd slept. He became the gatekeeper, became the gate. And no sheep could come in and no one could come, could enter, or no sheep could come out and no one could enter by way of that without passing first through the gatekeeper. And Jesus describes himself as the gate and the gatekeeper as being the good shepherd. What I like about this text is that it says that the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. Oftentimes the sheep were kept in kind of a community holding area at night. The shepherds were all out, they would take care of the sheep, and then they would bring them in some central place, the sheep from all the community, and they stayed in this rather large pen, and someone stayed the night as the gatekeeper. Then the shepherd could come the next morning early, and just by speaking, sometimes calling by name, because I don't know how you ever name 50 or 60 sheep by name, but they did this. I'd run out after a short order. But they did this, and they would call them by name. They would speak the voice, and the sheep recognized the voice of their particular shepherd. None of the others would come, but but his own sheep would follow him, and he could take them to the place that he needed to go. Now, why is that such an image of baptism? It's because at baptism, for the first time, we clearly hear the voice of God, the voice of Jesus, speaking to us individually. He calls us by name. We say at baptism, Paul E., I won't give you my middle name, Paul E. Kuhlman, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. For the first time, Jesus speaks clearly our name and claims us at baptism and says that from here on out, his voice is worthy of trust. We hear words like, I seal you with a sign of the cross, using oil. We hear things like, you are now the light of Christ, and we expect you to shine in everything that you do. All those words spoken at that time are the voice of Jesus spoken just to you so that you recognize that Jesus' voice is worthy to be heard. Because it's a voice filled with promise and with truth. So as a result of that, we find ourselves from baptism on yearning and longing to hear that voice again. Now I know, most of us heard it when we were children, very, very small. What voice could we possibly have heard It would have been a strange voice. The only voice we would have recognized at that particular moment probably would have been Mother's. And even that, we didn't know what they were saying. But as we grow in faith, as we grow listening and hearing the voice of our parents as well as the voice of Jesus, then we continue to see that that voice is trustworthy, that its promise and its truth is important to us to hear. All through that process of Sunday school and classes and confirmation, all through our life, we continue to build on the promise that Jesus made, that his voice is trustworthy and it needs to be heard, that we need to be around it at every opportunity, that we long to come and hear that voice spoken. You are here, not because so much you made a choice to be here. It's because as Jesus' sheep, you long to hear the voice of the shepherd. You are here because you desire to hear the voice of the shepherd. And it's heard in many different ways. We heard it last Sunday. Let me repeat myself. We hear it in every time Scripture is read. Again, the voice of Jesus speaking with confidence, giving us reason to trust the promises and to find that the truth is there. We hear it in that of the pastor in preaching, in a children's sermon, in the opportunity of passing the peace from one to the other. Those are all words of Jesus spoken at worship so that we can hear that voice and learn what that voice means for us. Everything we do, the whole purpose of gathering here is to become accustomed to hearing that voice. Every time we open Scripture is in order to hear that voice spoken and realize that it is trustworthy, filled with promise, and filled with truth. We long, and our existence is dependent as followers of Jesus, to learn to recognize the voice. Now, I have a dog in my home that could care less about my voice. I've tried over and over again to teach him certain things, but the real teacher in my house is my wife, and that dog will do anything she wants it to do. I can be sitting there with a dog with my wife gone, but as soon as he hears that garage door open, he knows who's coming. And he's already at the door yapping his head off waiting for her to come through that door. You all have animals. Many of you have animals like that. They know your voice. They know the events of your life. They become accustomed to that. And it's something they had to learn. We wish that wherever we bought our dogs, they would come already prepared to hear our voice and understand. So that when we said, "Is it time to go out?" they knew exactly what we meant and would go to the door. But it takes time to develop that relationship. It takes time for an animal to trust the voice of the one with whom he or she is willing to place the trust, the owner, the head person of the household. And so it is with those who follow the voice of Jesus. It takes practice. It takes yearning. It takes a desire. It takes recognizing that the voice of Jesus is trustworthy, and we long to hear what Jesus has to say to us, because our lives, our future, depend on our trusting that voice. Over the last several months, even before I came, there's been a desire, a decision made by council, faith formation group, and so on and so forth, team, to begin helping us to develop another way in which we can come to trust and recognize the voice of Jesus. We did a great deal of it during the season of Lent, and that was to gather and use silence as an opportunity to hear the voice of Jesus. We coupled it with the words of Jesus, and we tried to practice something that doesn't come easy for our culture these days, and that is to learn how to listen. We are so visual that we have to see it in front of us all the time, make reference back to it in order to understand and come to grips with things. But we have to learn how to listen, because Jesus, more often than not, speaks to us in loud voices, sometimes in soft voices, that we have to learn how to listen to them. And so during the season of Lent and in church council meetings and in the ag meetings and in certain of our committee meetings, even in the hour and a half staff meetings that we spend in silence listening to the word and making comments about the same, listening again, prayer and responding, we soon learn to discern the presence of the Spirit in our lives. And we tried to do that in a lot of different settings, and it's particularly part of the setting of the new member class as well. It's the first thing that we do together is learn how to listen again to the words and to the voice of God. There's a particular group that gathers, three staff persons, along with Alex, who is our youth person here in the congregation, our youth intern. And we gather together and we start off reading a book entitled Sacred Rhythms. And in there, she proposes a very interesting possibility I'd like to just throw out at you and have you try it. I found it to be very meaningful. I've done it many, many times and continue to do it. I think it'll grow on me even more as time goes on. She used a different kind of story, but I think I can use the story that we have today to do the same thing. And what she tried to say was, picture, if you will, in a quiet time. I proposed in an early service that you could do it while you're cooking or driving. And then I said, with your eyes closed. And then they started all laughing. Kind of hard to do that with your eyes closed. So find a quiet time, a time when you're by yourself, preferably in your favorite chair, on the couch. Might be maybe before you wake up in the morning or before you go to bed. And use that time to try to block out those things that go on in your mind that run a mile, 100 miles an hour, all the memories that you have, all the things you feel you need to get done, and focus on just one thing. And what I want you to focus on is what this woman proposed. Just think that for one moment, 5, 10, or 15 minutes, Jesus stands before you and has nothing else to do in all his existence than to listen to you answer this one question that he poses. What do you want me to do for you? Now just take that moment and just think how God, Jesus, can stand before you as close as you permit people to stand before you, but stand there and look into your eyes, as blind as we might be at times, to his presence. And just imagine, no, you don't have to imagine, no, that Jesus stands before you and poses a profound question. What is it that you want me to do for you? And as we begin to look deep inside for the longings that sometimes we've never been willing to say to others, and sometimes unwilling to say to ourselves, and least unwilling to say to God, to be able to verbalize those in a real way, and then listen to how God and Jesus' voice comes back to us. It is incredible that we continue to develop and understand and be in the presence of Jesus' voice, because it is only by hearing the voice of Jesus that we can ever hope to hear the voice of God. Amen.